Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh,
dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B!
Bradford A!
What's going on, dude?
A, what's up, man?
Hey!
Hey, how you doing?
Oh!
Hey, how you doing?
It's Wednesday. It means it's that awesome.
It's that awesome time.
Day.
Here we are. I'm so excited.
And I just can't hide it.
Why? Why are we so excited, Bradford?
Well, we have a couple great things happening. We just found out today that we're going to be part of the Burbank Comedy Festival. How'd that happen?
They called the wrong number and we acted like we're someone else.
Yeah, what brain surgeons are working over
They're like, hey, we're looking for Dumb and Dumber. That's us!
You called the right place.
Perfect.
You got it.
So there's a comedy club called Flappers in Burbank.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people know about here. And they were trying to get us for about, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 months.
Oh, really?
To perform.
I didn't know people were looking for us.
People have heard about us.
It's a good thing you don't tell me things, because I would have called them and been like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. So there's things you don't need to know.
Yep, there's things I don't need to know.
And there's things you need to know.
There's things I need to know.
So it's been, you know, 5 months, a few emails back and forth with Linda and I. And, you know, and I was like, I'm not ready, because we've never done a hometown show.
Right, we've done some dinners, which have been super fun, but we've never played a comedy club in L.A.
Yeah, in L.A., we have never.
We've done Irvine and Orange County, but never L.A.
But because it seems kind of scary.
We're a little scared, because, you know, as people that have seen our show is very General Hospital focused. Some of the things that we say are probably funny to other people, but we think about them in a way that will be funny to you people that watch our show. So we're nervous that if we were to go up at a real comedy club with just like a general comedy audience.
Yeah, they'd be like, who are these two freaking clowns?
They would look at us with really blank looks on their face and think poorly of us.
They'd stare at us
Jason Morgan.
And
throw tomatoes. I don't want tomatoes thrown at me.
So we were going back and forth. They're like, let's not do it. And then somebody else suggested us to Josh, who's running the place, and said, hey, why don't you get these guys over here for the Burbank Comedy Festival? And he's like, we've been trying to get these guys over here. So finally it's happening.
It's happening, folks.
We're kind of kicking off the Burbank Comedy Festival.
Yeah, it starts. It's a week-long thing.
Week-long,
Sunday to Friday.
They're doing
kind of
new talent. They're doing a bunch of...
Yeah, they do workshops for people.
Workshops, industry nights.
Totally.
It's
so
pretty
cool.
We're
one of the first performances that they're having on that very first Sunday. So we're honored and excited.
Dude, I'm excited, man.
And terrified.
Yeah, but it's cool to do it in town for
Absolutely.
Us, which is nice.
Well, and the cool thing is one of the things that we weren't sure if we were just going to be a slot amongst, you know, like everyone that else. So what we were told is that we actually get to have the theater so we can invite all of you folks that watch our show and that are the audience that we're used to.
Yes.
And so we can do our regular show and, you know,
and then they give out 15, they have 15 tickets they give out to industry people. Which may make us nervous or not.
Yeah.
But we'll be fine.
But so if you're in near the Burbank,
you're in LA,
if you're
let's
in LA
go.
Area.
StoneColdTheJackal.com. There's a link up now. It's at Flappers. Go check it out. August 11th.
We would love to see you, and we would love you to be a part of our first comedy community experience.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Make us feel safe, guys.
Yeah, we need to see some familiar faces out there.
Make us feel
safe.
Oh,
there you are. Okay, we're fine. So we're excited about that.
So that's cool. We're having a lot of fun with our Facebook supporter group.
Yeah, buddy.
This past week was our first full week at home doing it. And so we had Motivation Monday with Steve. We've had Thirsty Thursday, Thirsty Friday.
Every Thirsty Day for Thirsty Week.
Thirsty Week.
Yeah, the supporter thing's cool just because we get to create all this content. So they got a
nice long video of Roger's podcast.
There's so many I guess perks of podcast videos, all kinds of stuff that we do. We post random things anyway, you know.
I did a little video of
you being the jackal, but you
that was you.
It wasn't really a jackal, but. and then we're recording something today
that is exciting
that we'll get the first crack at.
If we feel like we did an okay job with it, we'll share it.
We're doing it, dude.
We're doing it. Damn
we're
it.
Doing it.
But there's another reason we're all so excited, because we have a fun guest this week.
An amazing guest this week.
We're excited.
Somebody said, oh, you need to get her on. And she goes, I'd be happy to. And I immediately like, You're on.
Let's
go.
Up.
I'm trying to get you. Get over here right now, because she's so fun to watch.
A mysterious lady on camera. Well, she started out mysterious. I don't know. She likes to sing.
She likes to
raise a ruckus. She likes to cause trouble for everybody.
She does.
And she does so with a kick-ass accent.
And we're going to hear that accent.
We're
going to
hear it.
I don't know what it is, but whatever.
And you know what? In the cursory research I did, I can see where she can slide into accents, because she's an international lady. Kathleen Gotti is with us today.
Yeah.
Hi, boys.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you.
Hello. How are you? Oh, yeah. That's the Russian.
Is that Russian?
That's sort of like a Russian thing. Yeah, I do a lot of that, but that's not, no. This is nice to see you. Yes. What do you want from me?
That's amazing.
This Albrecht. What do you want?
I'm so jealous.
What do you want from
me? I'm jealous you can do accents.
You spent some time in Austria. Is that what I read?
My mommy and daddy are from Hungary.
Ah, okay.
Oh, nice.
Actually, my father was born in Romania, but was a Transylvania and Hungary before. Anyway, the Trianon Treaty, long story.
Sure.
But they came out in 1956 during the revolution and went to Canada. And so my first language was Hungarian. And my beautiful parents had these thick Hungarian accent. And my whole life, I make fun of their accent. And I would say, Mama, what you want for lunch? Kathy, what you want for lunch? She goes, I don't talk like that. Mama, yeah, you talk. So we had this whole
thing. did you grow up with somewhat of an accent and you had to kind of shake it?
I think because I was born in Montreal, and I think we spoke Hungarian at home, but when I went to school, nursery, kindergarten, all that stuff.
Got it.
I'm so very educated. I went to nursery school.
Well, so you speak French too then?
You know, at the time, in 1902, French was not prevalent back then. French was not. It was very Anglo. Mm. And so I lived there till 67 and we moved to Victoria.
And then
in British Columbia, they taught in high school. And I love languages, so I studied French, learned it. Studied Spanish, learned it.
Wow.
It was funny because I went back in 1989 for a film festival, and I was back there, and everyone's speaking French, Montreal.
Yeah.
Went, no English. So I asked someone, I said, what's the ratio to, you know, French to English? And they went, 50-50, which, 50-50.
Right.
For those who don't understand. But it's like, it isn't. And it was great, but it's a whole different thing. But I wish it had been more French when I was a kid, because that's when your mind's like,
absolutely.
Sponge absorbing all the stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just love languages. And then I wanted to be a ballerina. That was my big thing from the time I was three.
Oh my gosh. All
I wanted to do, ballet.
Wow.
My father was a symphony conductor. My mother was an opera singer. So I grew up in the arts.
Wow,
and all I wanted
amazing.
I heard the music and I just wanted to dance.
No wonder you can sing.
Thank you. But anyway, so I studied ballet, and the dream was to go to the Bolshoi. And my mother, bless her heart, wherever she is, Mom, I love you. She said, well, my son, in Hungarian, fiam, my child, my son, if you want to be a dancer in Bolshoi, you better study Russian. So I studied Russian. So that's also part of, and I love the accent, so it's kind of, I can do the language and the accent.
Yeah.
But I did, I heard the music at home, and it was just, I needed to express it.
And now I'm
still stuck with this, I need to express myself.
So how long were you in that frame of mind of ballet?
I'm still there.
You are. Okay, great.
Didn't you see her down the hall?
She was just dancing around.
Sinead turns down the
That'd
hallway.
Be amazing if Albrecht started dancing around.
I would love to. I mean, when I got to do the cabaret nurse's Christmas Ball a couple of, in 2014. That was the highlight of my career. I got to sing and act and dance. But I had an injury. I fell down, fortunately, when I was 18, and that was basically the end of the dance world. I mean, I went into – and then I, after a year of not dancing, you have to keep – you can't stop. By that time, I should have been like a prima ballerina, which was the goal. And anyway, so I went into musical theater and jazz and singing and acting. And it was like, you can act, people write words, and you can express your emotions through someone else's words. You know, it was, I wasn't exposed to that. I was exposed to dance, and you don't have words. You just
and
have
did
your body.
You feel that? Did you feel it was better? Did you feel
it was such a freedom?
Was a freedom acting wise compared to, because you are expressing yourself, obviously dancing, but it's sometimes it's so technical and limited that it's not like acting where you can really express emotion.
And you can't, you know, sleep. You can't eat. I mean, you can't do anything as a dancer, and your career is short. You have one injury, you're 20, boom.
You're done.
You have, you know, or you retire at 35 or 40, and then what? And I have a lot of friends who became professional top dancers everywhere, and they're 40 going, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, one went back to school.
And my body is going to hurt forever.
And it does. I have war wounds, my knees, my back, my, you know, it's like I have to kind of work around all those stupid injuries from years
ago. And also, like, if you have, like, injured feet in your 30s and 40s,
it's not going to be good.
It's not going to get better.
No.
Then you're Ken Schreiner.
Right. Yeah.
She knows why. I'm laughing because he's been on this freaking scooter.
But it's
He had a bad foot. He's been on this scooter. And now I hear the cane. I hear.
Did you?
Well, but and also, like,
I go, Ken, please, with the cane. Stop.
Well, and also, he has that, like, I don't know if he actually has drop foot, but the way he walks when he drops his foot.
But it's so great. It's like you bring, that's what it's so great. You bring your injury, you bring your boo-boos.
Right.
And you put it into the show. And he's fun. He's such a great guy. He's so much
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah.
And he just, so it suits his character.
I hope he does.
I hope he gets out of it soon, but it's kind of like
he'll probably keep the cane.
I think he should keep that little scooter.
No, that thing's horrible. I said, Ken, you cannot be on TV with this. What are you doing? You got to stand up.
No, we shoot the wedding. He's zooming around. He's not, I want that.
No,
I want
you
that
don't. You might be able to pull it off. So you were in musical theater after you were 20? Is that what you said when you got?
I went to New York to study. I did some modeling and acting, and I started studying acting, and I got accepted at a school, HB Studio, and I went there for a couple of years, and this school and that school in private and singing, and I kept dancing, musical theater. And then I thought, and I did a lot of that. And I had a one-woman show and nightclubs, and they're like...
Oh, what singing and acting?
Just singing and talking. It wasn't just like one song, another song. But
what story were you telling?
Life. You know, here I'm 22 telling my life story.
I know, right?
But
I fell down one day and my career was over.
I know these like teenagers go, I've been doing this my whole life. Like, honey, not even a cordial.
Well, that's interesting. We interviewed Catherine Bach a little while ago, Daisy Duke from Dukes of Hazzard, and she was in her mid-20s, she had a one-woman, she wrote a show about her... about being a woman in the industry. She had a real strong point of view. So, like, you don't hear too many people writing one woman, you know, unless maybe they're a stand-up comedian or something, right?
Yeah.
But so, like, that's...
But that, I talked about life and love and, you know, this is big romantic. So I talked a lot about, you know, growing up, and then I had my stuffed animal and then the changes and I still have a stuffed animal. But that's a secret. Don't tell anyone.
Okay, sure.
Yeah,
no one will listen to this.
My husband's like, honey, here's your stuffed elephant on that side. I'm on this side. You know, just keep him on that other side.
Right?
I don't want to compete. So, but, you know, I had just talked about that and sang songs that were appropriate about life and getting older and all that stuff, maturing. Yes, and I was 22.
Amazing. Amazing.
But you know what? I really, it was lovely, and singing is, it's so joyful. Yeah. I just love it. But I also wanted to make a decent living in my career, and it's great doing clubs and stuff, but people are chomping, past the tassana.
I know.
She's singing, who cares? Right. You know, it's like you want an interaction.
It's so
distracting. And it's okay, but it's like, not that I have this huge ego, but, you know, ask my husband. But, you know, I don't think I do, but it's like, I don't need that, but if I'm singing... Pay attention,
damn it.
I'm telling a joke. I'm telling a story. Pay attention. Don't like, I'm not,
you're not
background.
You're not
wallpaper.
Just sitting on behind the bar. Yeah. Like, it's not, you're not atmospheric. Because you're the headliner. You're the
so
show.
So much work goes in, right? You
guys absolutely.
You put every thought, people don't know that. It's like so much thought goes into every line, every word. Is this funny? Is this not?
Every transition.
Everything. So when I'm working at GH, it's like General Hospital is every line for me means something. And I'm grateful for the training back in New York. It was theater training and I did tons of theater. Yeah. But it's like, I wish I had just kind of grown up on the soap. Open the script, learn it, come in and do it.
Right. Interesting.
But I have 10 years in New York of theater training. You have 4 weeks, you learn it, you think about it, you move with the, you know, yeah. you take your glass, and as you're taking the glass, you're thinking. And, you know, everything has a beat, a moment, a
sure.
thought. It's like, man, I can't erase that training.
Yeah.
I struggle with that every time because I get a, you know, 20, 30-page script. Oh, there's 3 scripts. There's 90 pages. What the beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
And like, okay, then I'm going to lock myself in a room. Goodbye, my husband. Goodbye, world. Goodbye, everything. And I'm going to think about this and which
sure.
line and what do I want
yeah,
to
so
do this.
Yeah, so let's stop there for 1 second. So if you have, because obviously you've had a lot of dialogue. So if you have 30 pages, say,
right.
you know, sometimes we'll get the script 3 or 4 days in advance. I can never look at it. I only look at it the night before.
I know, you guys. I want to stab you guys in the eye. Really, so, I hate all of you who can
so
do that. There's a whole bunch of you who can do that.
What's your process? I mean, like, if you're working, if today's Monday and you're working Friday and you know you got 30 pages or 40 pages, what do you do?
I sit down at home, lock myself in the bedroom, and I start page one, first line, second line, learn it, move on. And it's a layering process. I'll probably spend a couple hours, an hour or two, think about it, talk, you know, make notes for myself. My scripts are filled. People are just like, no, they throw it. There's nothing there. I'm like, really? I mean, I outline my script. I mean, I'm like a beginner student, but every time I get a script, I'm like a new student of acting. What am I going to do with this script? What do I say here? Oh, this is funny. Okay, how do I make that funny? You know, this one, I'm very upset, emotional. How do I get there? So I have all these. It's a lot of work I probably put on myself. I don't need to, but I want to. That's how I.
Sure.
Yeah. And you put
I
it
down. Process.
And you put it down after a couple hours and you come back to it. And
so will you start? If you know it's Friday, will you start as soon as you get
as
it?
As soon as I get the script. I'm starting. I layer it. I call it layering process.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
Good. I like
that.
I like
not
that.
Like you guys that I want to kill.
Well, no.
Just, you know, the night before, the morning. Some people, I just
no,
got
I can't
a script.
Do the
Where
morning.
Is
I can't do the morning.
But even the night before, that's a great ability.
Well, it is. You know? But it also, we could probably spend more time on it.
You could.
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like I have to be funny. I have to be serious. I have an accent.
And you have an accent. If I had an accent... I'd be doing it for 6 days because I can't do accents.
Dude,
I
mean, if you had an accent, you'd
be fired.
You'd be fired, yeah.
Totally.
But it's not just the accent. It's also the way Obrecht is written. Like, do you have, like, last I saw Susan, instead of, like, you know, last time I saw her.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I have to, last I saw, the structure is different. The way they write, and I love it.
Yeah.
But the work, for me, has to be done. So I say the right lines, and I'm not here to, let me improvise a scene, because whatever. It's like, I can't do that, and I don't want to. And with a theater training, you owe the other actor their cue line so they know what to say.
Sure.
That's nice.
Over
of you.
The years, I've worked with actors, and, like, you know, they're supposed to say, how are you? And I go, well, you know, I'm not so well. And they go, oh, the sky is blue, and the chicken soup is great. And I'm like, well, I'm not so well. And I'm like a stupid machine.
Yeah.
Right. I say my line, you know, but it's like, that's.
But that's how it works.
And I'm trying to be more flexible because some people don't do that. And
sure.
Although most people, they're like, oh my God, here comes Gaddy. Shit, we have to give her a last. Can I say that? Shit.
Yeah, you can.
They have to give, you know, they have to give me the lines I need. And there's some changes. I'm okay. Just tell me in time. I need to be prepared. I'm really a prepared actor.
That's good,
actor.
Though.
I'm an idiot in life.
And it shows,
acting.
Though.
That's
shows.
Why the, that's why the book
really
is called
does.
The Actor Prepares.
Prepares.
Yeah,
right?
It's amazing.
It's not just the actor shows up.
I've always...
the actor prepares.
Because...
But this is,
yeah, go ahead.
No, sorry. I'm just... But this is intense. This is not normal.
Sure.
There,
well, and
making,
also...
Showmanship, whatever, or business, show business.
And if Obrecht was in 5 episodes a week with a heavy load, that would be hard.
You know, the hardest week I had, it wasn't, because, you know, the union rules, you have to have your script 72 hours. And I didn't even know that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a
union
rule?
That used to be the rule. Maybe changed.
Is it not anymore?
I have no idea. I don't pay attention to these things. I show up, do my job, and go home. I have to study my lines. I don't have time to study the reunion rules. Are you crazy? You guys can.
Get your husband to read it for us.
You go look at the rules for me. Would you find out? But
get the jackal on it.
Seriously.
Do we have an equity deputy? Do we have an equity deputy here? I don't think
I don't know, but a SAG-AFTRA would be good.
Yeah, right.
They show up once a year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm doing a show, and I start. It was just a 2-day role, and I was gone, and then they call and you want more. I'm like, yes. And then it just got more and more. But at the time, they were literally, it was like 1 or 2 days we got the script. And there was one, and for you guys who do this in your sleep, I'm just so admiring of that. That's such a great skill and great talent. But not me. That's not my background. And it's, you know, anyway. So I, showed 1 week, and there's like 10 scripts I had.
Oh, gosh.
4 days and like a day to memorize.
Oh, gosh.
My husband, bless his heart.
Oh, God bless him.
I can
him.
Never divorce
he,
him. I can
he
never
ran
leave
it
him.
Over
you owe
and
him
over.
Too much.
On,
you
know, the night run it again!
Oh, till 3 o'clock every morning, and
I
I'm
love
crying.
It. I can't do it.
You do it again. Yeah. But it was like 5-6 years ago, but it was, you know, it was pretty close to the beginning, and now I'm getting more in the groove, and it doesn't take that time. But I had literally like one night, and then there was one script, and then the next day I get another 20 or 30.
I
and
know,
it was
it's
like,
overwhelming.
It was too much, because if I had the 5 days, I can layer them. I can add them, which I have now. It's like one day, then I have another one coming up fine. Now it's better, and I'm grateful for that. But the 1 or 2 days, it was almost like cruelty to animals, you know?
Sure.
It's like, for those of us
we are animals.
We are animals. Yeah.
Dance,
we're Bucky, animals.
Dance.
Exactly right.
And we do. Yeah, it's like, what do you want me to do?
Totally.
You know? But I love the job, and I love the role, and I get to sing and dance and act and be nasty and be kind and be brokenhearted and loving. I mean, so it's a great role.
I'm
very fortunate.
I've talked about that a lot. You know, my character had a vivid imagination, and some of those imaginations would, like, those fantasies would play out on screen. So I get to, you know, inhabit, like, I would play out these fantasies, so I get to do different things. And characters like yours, you know, we are very lucky.
We are.
Because in this medium, there are a lot of characters that are not meant to, are meant to be, like, the picture of masculinity. And you know, the actors that I admire find quirks and things in that.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily meant to be, in like, overly interesting, right? It's not, it's
the love interest, they look good.
That's just part of what this genre is. And I think what's cool about our show, and like, you know, the fact that they would bring on characters like ours and feel like, okay, this maybe isn't non-traditional or whatever.
Right.
But we have someone here that has a skill set that is boundless, so let's use it. And that's so much fun for us, right?
It is. It is. Yeah. I'm just grateful. I love this role. I'm like, bring me, you know, bring it on. I'm totally happy as long as they give us a couple of days.
Sure.
give me my union rules at least 3 days,
funny.
I'm good.
Well, because I remember when you did the 99...
Red balloons.
Oh, God. And like, they wouldn't just give that to anybody.
That's
right. Like, you have to know that, wow, this person has to be able to pull this off, because that's something. Right?
Popping balloons. I am scared deathless of balloons.
Oh, really?
And I was, okay, so rehearsal.
You have a balloon phobia?
I do.
That's interesting.
Please pop as many of these 99 red balloons as you can. I'm like, okay, this is pushing the up, Frank.
That
was kind of cool to, like, oh, I'm fine with this. And went home.
I need to look that up. Google that. Balloon phobia.
Oh, it's got to be. Popping zone.
It's got to be called something.
I'm sure there's a better name than balloon phobia.
It's the trauma. Listen, my parents were in a plane crash, and I was in my mother's womb, unbeknownst to her, so I'm sure it's something to do with that. I
survived a plane crash in utero.
Yeah. She didn't know she was. That's why I think I'm just someone said, you're meant to be here. I'm like, really? I'm just here to cause a lot of trouble. Because, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not dying. I'm staying in this world. I'm, you know, but they didn't know they were leaving Hungary at the end of '56. My sister was a baby, and they came out, and they were heading to Germany on their way to Montreal, and they were in a plane crash in Germany in a cornfield in the snow.
Wow!
In December 24th, they called them the Holy Family, because my sister was a baby, mom and dad, and the baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, and they were in a sanatorium for 3 months, and my mother didn't get her period. Say that, period.
Yeah,
sure.
First you could say that, yes.
And they said, the doctor said, you know, you're in shock. What do you, I'm sorry, that's how it is. And the second month, period. And the
you
said,
were the shock.
Yeah, they're like, no, congratulations.
Third month, he said, congratulations. That's right. And they were like, what the hell? This is the last thing they needed. Immigrants, new country, nothing.
Sure, yeah.
And I am, you know, because by that time, that kind of a shock, several people died. They were banged up extremely badly, but not me. I decided to stick it out.
Here I am
tonight to sing about it. I'm here. So, it's a pretty crazy thing. So I'm sure I have a lot of twitches from all kinds of...
Well, I know what I'm getting you for your birthday. 99
no,
red balloons.
I kill you. Over to Fantas. I go talk to Frank. I need a story. I kill this man.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
That's funny. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the docks again.
People that come up against Jason don't make it out. So when you made that transition, you're doing your one-woman show. Now, was there a time that you're like, okay, I don't want to be a gypsy anymore. I want to move to LA. Because you started talking about that. Like, you started talking about, you know, worried about finances, worried about, like, right. So what shift was that?
Well, in 1989, I got a couple of months' work on All My Children.
Oh, we know that
opposite
show.
Maurice. You've heard of it?
Yeah.
Really? Opposite Mo?
Maurice, yes.
No way.
Yes way.
Nico.
It was Nico and Cecily
Nico.
And me and my husband, whatever it was.
Did you have an accent? Make.
Not that time. Mostly okay. I do, but not that time.
Your husband in real life was on the show?
No.
Or your husband on the show?
It was
okay.
just me and
Okay. Yeah. Right.
And it was this Mrs. USA homemaker pageant. Anyway, long story, long story. It'll take
That's
months
crazy.
And months.
Crazy. I didn't know that. That's
I
awesome.
I was hot for 5 seconds. I was blonde. Tall, slim, blonde. Everyone was like, who's
seconds.
This lovely young girl?
I got to see a picture of this, baby.
I played Taffy Winslow.
Taffy?
Taffy with claws out to here. Ooh. Evil role. I don't know why. But anyway, and people would stop me, and I was like, oh, this is success. I remember I was in Bloomingdale's. I had money. I bought myself this beautiful red silk jacket. Right away, I got it dirty. It was useless, you know. But anyway, but don't do it anymore. So I remember this woman came out, oh, you're Taffy Winslow? But yes, you're on All My Children? Yes. And they went, you're such a bitch. This is my first taste of success in the showbiz.
Oh,
and
gosh.
They just almost spat on me and walked away, and they're just disgusted. And I was like, but I was shocked, and I was really not happy. Anyway, but that's one part of it. The other part was I was hot. Everyone was interested that you got to go to L.A. I came out to L.A. early 90s. Everyone was like, oh, wow, this, you know, you're not a typical Baywatch. You don't have the body, blah, blah, blah. But you can act circles around these girls. Anybody we have, we're interested. So I went back to New York with my ex. And I said, well, you know, he said, let's move to L.A. He's a writer, director. He said, okay. He goes, you go out there, get a job, get a, you know, home, and I'll come follow you. And I probably start crying here. My mother, turns out she was terminally ill. Mm. So long story, I went back to Canada, and that, it was a year later. And L.A., called up L.A. after she passed. And I loved my mom. I knew I'd always be there for her. I mean, she told me to study Russian. How could I, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So, she was a beautiful person. So a year later, I called up all the people, and they're like, who the beep, beep, beep are you? Never heard of you, don't know you, don't, you know. It's such a
fickle business,
cruel,
right?
Gotta catch it when the wind is blowing the right way.
Whoever's listening, don't be an actor. If you can do anything else, run.
truthfully, though, if you have something else that you can do that brings you joy do that. Cause
this is not joyful.
Is hard to find.
Joy is hard. I mean, I get joy from the lines and talking to you guys. I mean, there's moments of joy where you're just so grateful to be in this business, but 95% of it is schlepping and cruel.
It's a
and
grind.
It's, and people are not kind. It's not a kind industry.
Nope.
So. That changed everything. I went back to New York, and then my ex, he's also Hungarian. We went. He said, let's do a film. We were preparing. We were both producing and writing, et cetera. So we went to Hungary. We did a film for 2 months, and my background's Hungarian. I had done a film there a year earlier. Another long story. But anyway, so I had done a film, and while we were there, this film came out, and I won the Hungary's Best Supporting Actress, like the Golden Globe of Hungary.
Wow.
And everyone was like, who is this actress? We don't know her. She speaks Hungarian.
All the goulash you can eat or what?
All the goulash you can eat and more.
And more.
So I stayed for 6 years. I got one lead role, another lead role, this film, this TV series. Yeah. It was glorious. And honestly, I love to act. I don't care what country, what
How
language.
How cool is that?
It was amazing.
That is so
10
cool.
million people in the country. Everyone knew. You know, it was, and
can you still go there and like get free lunch?
I have a home there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No free lunch. I've gotten a few biscuits. They bring your glass of champagne.
What is the value of a place unless you get free stuff, right?
It's all about the free stuff.
Right.
Especially food.
I mean,
free
come
food,
on.
No
Actors.
Calories. It's great.
Right, yeah.
So I stayed there. You know, one job went to the other
course.
Job. It was amazing. And I thought, I can die happy woman here.
Sure.
I really can because I love the work. I really love expressing it. I like making people laugh or cry. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the best audience in the movie theater. I'm like, take me on this journey.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
you're eager
I'm
to
way
go.
Better audience than an actor. It's like, I wish they would pay for that. I'm really good at that. So anyway, it was wonderful, but communism ended while I was there. And all of a sudden, the government is not sponsoring film and television. They are now, you want to make a movie, do it yourself. You know, and they don't know how to do that. The government has paid for everything for decades. I mean,
it's a long time. It's a big transition. People have to figure it out.
So the film industry died.
Yeah.
Television industry died. I haven't warmed up yet for my German speech today. So, you know, it was a whole different thing. And I made a cookie business because I have come from bakers and artists, performing artists. So I had a cookie business and that was going great.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can become a cookie mogul, open up like my Mrs. Fields.
Mrs.
Obrecht's cookies all over and coffee shops like Starbucks. I started it and then one of the places, my first place.
In Hungary?
In Hungary.
Yeah.
In 1992, I had a wholesale business going. It was fabulous. The airlines, the hotels, hospitals, everybody.
All cookies.
All cookies, cakes, you name it.
Wow.
And it was doing great, but I thought, I'd like to make a decent living. I'd like to get paid for the hard work I've done. Another career. But, you know, but I would like to also do what I love, what my passion is. Because sure. It's all about living your passions. Tony Robbins said, live your passion.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's true.
You know, so it ended there. The cookies, I thought, you know, this is really nice, but it's not doing it for me. And one of the businesses, the first location I found, something happened. It fell through. And I went, that's my sign. Yeah. Go back to Hollywood. It's 7 years later. Give it another shot.
Wow.
Could you sell the business? Was it at such a place? Oh, you could.
I did.
Okay,
I left it there, you know, long story. But yes, I did.
Oh,
I sold the business. I sold the property.
Right.
You know, I came to L.A. and I found a little studio apartment. And I thought, in 6 months, I'm going to be in Bel Air. 5 years later, I moved upstairs to a three-level, fabulous, one-bedroom. It was
one
great.
Bedroom.
But it's, you know, it's like your perceptions, your dreams, but you have to have the dreams. You have to think big or you're going to end up nowhere. It's like dream for the moon, you reach maybe a star, you know.
I like that.
So read something. But it was an interesting...
That's
and then
a great, I mean, that's amazing journey, though.
Yeah, but you know, I had this beautiful career in Hungary, which ended. And I can go back, and I have a home there, and we go sometimes, and, you know, it's really nice. But I remember when I came to L.A., and I had this, you know, everywhere I go, people are, and they were, it's not like here, if you're famous, people attack you, can't leave your house. It's kind of like the GH fans. They're always kind, you know.
Yeah.
What I had in Hungary is what I feel when I go to Trader Joe's and these, General Hospital fans go, oh, we love you, you know, you're such a different, and that just warms my heart.
That's awesome.
That's how it was in Hungary. So I come to L.A., 40 years old. Nobody knows me or remembers me anymore. I've been gone now 6-7 years, and who the beep are you? And they don't even know me now. Like,
and typically not the age to start.
Oh,
right?
I heard, you're 40? Well, you had a big career in Europe. Why don't you go back there?
Mm.
I mean,
oh,
I heard, it was terrible. I literally
so
sat.
So welcoming, aren't we?
It was so warm and fuzzy. I sat in my little studio apartment and bawled for 3 months, feeling sorry for myself. And it's not my style. I just couldn't get over this thing. And finally, I got one part on The Practice, and then I got another part, a comedy thing on Brothers Keeper. And bit by bit, I started to work. But it was like starting over, and it hurt like
that
a son
hurts.
Of a bitch.
Yeah.
It did.
That's tough.
You know, it is. And so every time I get a job, I'm like, yes!
I mean, there's no better call.
It's humility. I mean, someone once said, I think a fortune teller said, you're going to have to, you know, your lesson in life is humility. I'm like, I don't think it'd be more humbled or more humility than this.
This is the place to find
this
it.
This is the it place
is.
To get it, for sure.
It is. But at the end of the day, we're here because we're entertaining people.
60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a TrueCar cash offer.
Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions, get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride.
So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
So was there a job in that time that all of a sudden gave you, I don't know, whether it was confidence or a sense of, okay, I'm getting somewhere, and just the beginning of some sort of shift?
There was. Again, when I first came here, it was crap. You know, you're too old. What are you doing? Go back to Hungary. What are you doing in Hollywood? Started small, one role, another role, this role and that. And then... I got an audition for 24 as the First Lady of Russia.
Great show.
And it was a great show. And I got the part.
Yes.
I was thrilled. It was just it started out small. It kind of reminds me of GH. It started out basically to just be the wife, don't say anything. And then months later, John Cassar, he's the head.
Yeah.
He said to me, you know, it's a good thing we cast an actress because we were just thinking we just need some decoration to be there. But we found out you're an actress, you can act, and et cetera, and Russian, the language, and everything. So we're very happy to have you. And I was thrilled. It
That's
was probably
so
the
cool.
sweetest
I got goosebumps.
Job. I mean, it wasn't a huge role, but it was a fabulous role. And the job was the money.
The money!
The money. But everything. It was just, you know, where everything works.
So yeah,
I mean,
was,
the people were great. The food. I mean, everything
was great.
Was great. You know,
the
food was
great. The money was great.
The money
the
was
job
great. The job was great.
Yeah.
There, and Kiefer right. Sutherland couldn't have been nicer. And yeah. the actors and everyone was
so
happy
cool.
to be there. It was such a great environment.
What
so
season
that,
was that?
5 and 6.
5 and 6. Awesome.
So I did 7 episodes, although IMDb just refuses to put the 7th in. But anyway,
yeah.
So there were 7 episodes. But it was just really great. And working with Gene Smart and Gregory.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's
so what year was
people.
That?
2005, 2006.
It was 2005,
yeah, it was actually, I think, the seasons according to the years.
Wow.
And it was just amazing. And, residual checks. Remember those?
Sure.
Residual
oh, gosh,
checks?
Yeah.
And I'd go out. You know, you get this little envelope. And it's like $3.47. Well, there was like – they came in like big manila envelopes and like thick. And I was like, oh, what's that? And so oh, it's from, you know.
Because there were multiple checks in the envelope.
Well, I didn't know. I opened the first one, you know, $1.27. The third one, you know, second one, you know, $4.50. The third one, you know, $29, $60.
Right.
And the fifth one, you know, $100. But you know, in the back was like $2,000,
$5,000.
I was like, I paid off my car. I mean, you know,
that's amazing.
I've never seen this kind of money. And Hungary was different, you know. But
sure.
But here, I'd never seen that kind. I was like, so that was
yeah,
just.
It's a
I was
big
crying,
deal.
Kissing the ground. I was so grateful. You know, it's just. And such a changing industry. One day you're a billionaire, the next day you're poor. And then,
well,
so you have to have.
I've never been a billionaire. I'm not sure what
okay,
happened to you.
I guess I can't say have. But you know, I'm just
yeah,
very
no,
successful
no, yeah,
financially,
yeah.
artistically. And the next
right.
minute, nobody cares
Nothing,
about you.
Well, that's the thing. Is
it's
like,
such a weird energy.
You know, I think people have this idea that once they've seen you on TV, you're set for life.
I know.
And
oh my gosh, they do think that.
Right? And
yeah.
they're, you know, when we do work, we're compensated pretty well, but. And it's like this in the theater, too. You know, it's rare, and soaps are, you know, one of the only cases of it where you work all year, right? Right? If you do an episode of television, you might not get another job for 5 months. So you
yeah.
might have made a lot of money in that one
That's
week.
Right.
But
it has to
boy,
last
it's going to last all
yeah.
year.
That's right.
Especially
and
if you have a family, man. It
gosh,
could be tough.
I know.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. you know, it is, we're check to check in a lot of ways here. And so it's... Yeah, it can be glamorous, but it can be.
It's not. I'm
feast
writing
or famine.
A book.
Are you?
And
are?
The
you
book
are?
Is called "Where Is the Glamour?"
Where was
where
it? There's
the
no glamour.
Right.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, there's joy, and honestly, for me, when I'm in Trader Joe's, I'm having a sample of chicken. My mouth is full, and I'm shopping, and I've got my hair in a ponytail, and I'm wearing sweats from the gym, and I'm walking around, and somebody comes up and goes, "You know, I've been going through chemo, and you were on the show last week, and you made me laugh."
Wow, that needed some music, so that worked
did,
out.
That was really nice.
See, that perfect. That was like background music.
That was
yeah.
really nice. But you know, so I'm yes. just saying, I'm in Trader Joe's, yeah. and I'm like schlepping, and I'm, you know, look disgusting, and I just came from the gym, and then somebody comes out to me, and they're almost in tears, and I say, thank you, you made me laugh, and I forgot about the cancer, or my
yeah.
kids dying, or whatever, and it's like, I
yeah.
swear, I go, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the glamour. Not when you're
it
wearing
is.
6-inch heels, killing yourself on the red carpet when you're hoping
sure.
to get that Emmy.
Yeah.
I've been nominated. That was awesome. But it was like for 3 seconds, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da,
yeah.
and then go get lost. And, you know, your
right.
feet are killing you. Nobody cares. They want that picture for their, you know, they can sell, and that's it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's you know, being able to touch people and
yeah.
affect their lives. And we do without knowing it, right? So many times. We're on the road so much. But
you bring joy to everybody.
Oh, but we meet so many people who are so grateful just to...
I bet.
Just to say hi and say, hey, thanks. My grandma got me into this. She's passed. And,
yeah.
you know, just you hear those heartwarming stories so many times. And that's really... I mean, obviously the show's fun and we go do that, but that's really like the connection, you
that
know?
That is.
And
that's
what that's kind of what matters.
It is, because you know? This show, especially an animal like this,
yeah.
you know, a series that's been on 50, 60 years. I mean, people have been, it's a generational thing and
totally
it's a family
is.
And it's,
yeah.
it means something. You know, we see a lot of shows where I love this show, that show's on for 2 years, it's gone. This has been on for decades,
I mean,
for
people
generations.
Grow up, like,
yeah.
people have been watching, some lady was like, I've watched since 1963, the first episode. We're like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
I mean, 56 years, you watch the same
I same thing.
TV
you know, so
show?
If you burp the wrong way, they love it. They, you know, they watch everything. Well, your skirt was a little shorter and that longer, yeah. and that glass was.
They are attentive to detail. You know, that's for sure.
Are, but I love it. It gives them, because I know I have my shows that I, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm hooked on this stupid show, whatever, or that show, or,
right.
or this one, whatever it is. But it, you get addicted, and then it's so cool that they are so committed.
Yeah,
it feels
cool, man.
That's where the love is. That's where it's the joy cool. and the glamour is, if you will.
Yeah. So you've been on the show now about 6 years?
7 years next week.
7 years next week. Who's counting?
Not me. July 31st, I had my first, I worked 2 days, July 31st, August 1st. They aired
awesome.
August 24th. And I came in, I was moving Robin, kidnapping her, just or holding,
sure.
I was the head of the Swiss.
Well, you were Britt's mom?
Later. At the time, I was nothing. I was just, I just came in for 2 days. So I played the head of the Swiss psychiatric hospital where we were holding Robin.
Oh,
and I think Duke was there, Ian Buchanan, love
yeah.
that guy.
He's great.
And Tony Geary, adore him.
Yeah, amazing.
And that was it. Just come in, say a few things, go home. Come back, next day, go home. And it was like, oh, that was cool. Next, you know, it's a very transient industry.
Yeah,
sure.
And then a couple months later, it's like, we have a daughter for you. You want to come back? Like, what?
Yeah.
And I don't have kids. So there was, you know, yeah. I come in and here's Kelly Tebow, this gorgeous girl. I'm like, oh, that's my baby. And then a couple years later, they give me Ryan Pavey.
I know you have some pretty kids.
Man.
Real, I'm like, whoever I'm stooping, I'm yeah, going to kids.
Where is this
out.
Guy?
Andrew,
oh, Cesar Fizan. Yeah. Andrew Hopes.
Yeah.
Andrew's Hope.
did you and you had scenes with him too, right?
I did.
At some point?
Yeah.
I
great.
Did much later. But
sure.
We did. And I was and because of my 6 years in Europe, I love. You know, the whole European actor, the whole vibe thing was really cool.
Yeah, did you guys have any connection before that in terms of, like, shared relationships? Or did you know him or know anybody that knew him? I mean,
on the show?
He works a lot. No, in Europe. He works a lot there.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I've worked
around.
Never
crossed paths.
No. No. I have worked with other actors from the Netherlands and stuff, but not with him.
Yeah.
Who, they knew him. But I hadn't worked with him.
Yeah, like, I truly have no idea. If you're doing movies in Hungary, and granted, language is a big issue, right? I mean, but, you know, the actors, obviously in the States, we know a lot of the British actors.
Yes.
And we know, you know, we known a couple Italian actors over the years, like Isabella Rossellini and Benita. I'm thinking of Roberto Benigni.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then, you know.
Life is beautiful.
Right, exactly. Yes. And, but we don't. The actors that stay in Europe that are not British, do they stay in their countries mostly?
They
or just
have to.
Just because of language?
Because of language.
Yeah.
I mean, Hungarian is awesome language.
You guys didn't colonize anybody.
No.
So that's.
But a lot of people did. You know, they took, like, Hungary was five times its size, and then they chopped up
this
little chunk left.
Yeah.
But there's neighboring countries that have some Hungarian people still living there.
Yeah.
But it's not, and it's a special language, so they dub everything.
Yeah.
You do a film here, if they get it there, or TV series, mm-hmm. it's all dubbed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's kind of, they said the Woody Allen in Hungary, the actor did a better job of portraying Woody Allen than Woody Allen.
That's funny.
He was so
Dude,
good.
It's so funny because you're always like, afraid. Young and the Restless is in France.
Oh.
It's huge in France,
so
right?
So they dub it.
So they dub it.
Oh, so productive.
And I'm so happy that I had a manly voice. Because you hear some characters,
yes.
they're like, hey, you know, and and you're like, wait, that's not my voice.
Right.
And
then they
dubbed me and I listened. It was amazing.
Well, that was good.
But that's funny because, like, you got to think, okay, is that how they view my character? Is that how, like, the voice that they would think Mike, or is it just who's available to do my voice?
Do you know
what I mean? Like, I wonder how they cast those people to do
well,
that.
Well, it depends, you know, like what actor they think is appropriate, who's available. Like, I'm sure it's a whole bunch of...
Well, the story goes with Ron Moss, right? He was on Bold and Beautiful Forever. Huge in Italy. These guys, to, like, stop the airport. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You're getting... Shut down the country. When they used to go there, it used to be that big. And, then I guess supposedly he was at a you know press conference or something, and he talked, and he's a higher voice, and they're like,
"That's not you.
That's not him."
It's like, I did one film in Hungary because a lot of stuff I have a slight accent, so I have to, like, really work on it and not to have an accent in Hungarian. Being brought up in Canada, so, and my parents never corrected me because they couldn't tell.
Sure.
So in Hungary, I had to work on it. So one film I did, and it's a Holocaust film, and family, it's the last 8 months of their lives, and they're dying. It's a very sad, very heavy story. And I played this mother of this girl. It was a three generation, a very interesting story. And someone dubbed my voice.
Oh, no.
The director's wife, because he didn't put her in the film, but he thought, I'll let her do a voice. So he
picked
He picked my voice. And I have a kind of a deeper voice.
Yeah.
I did then, too. It was 20 years ago, but it's a deeper voice. And she's talking. I'm was like, I was going to, I was so hurt
like
by
Minnie
that.
Mouse is doing
Minnie Mouse, because it's like,
when it was to do the same language that you were doing.
I was just doing it already, and it wasn't a lot of dialogue. It was just, you know.
He just thought the accent would be better, or was he just throwing his wife a bone?
I think he was throwing
yeah.
boner, bone, oh, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, whatever yeah. it was, but it was like, because there was a 14-year-old, there was me, who was the mother, and then my mother. So it's the three generations and what we're going through, how we handle it. The woman who played my mother went through the Holocaust. I'm a child sure. of that era. My kid knows nothing about it. And right. we all played kind of
real life.
Did
he at least do it yeah. well, or did it stand out? Like, oh, everyone else is not dubbed, but this woman is.
I was. I don't know why, but I saw it and I just went, I can't even talk about the film.
I'm going to talk yeah. to Frank and see if we can get that same lady here for Obrecht.
And it's like, I'm this mother's warm and caring about her daughter. And like, would you like to, you know, it's like all, and she's like,
oh, that is amazing.
So,
oh,
we have to talk about something else. I'm having a meltdown.
Oh, my
it.
Gosh.
Wait, so what do you like to do outside of acting? Is there any, nothing. Do you have any passions
nothing.
Or other hobbies?
Hate everything. Hate you guys. Only acting. And I hate actors. No, sorry. I like going to the movies.
Look in the mirror right now.
Oh, my God, I hate you. I don't want to look. No. I have a lot of passions. I don't have time for a lot of things. But
sure.
What is there? I have a husband. He's my child. He's my pet.
He's my,
well, people say, do you have pets, children? Yeah, my husband.
Yeah.
Kind of encompasses it all.
Sure. So now he's not in the business. How did you guys meet, if you don't mind us asking?
We met on Match.com.
Hey, fantastic.
What?
I know.
Love that.
I know.
That's how long ago?
12 years ago.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Well, I decided, because I wanted to be an actress and a dancer, a singer, I wasn't going to get married or have children until I'm older.
Sure.
And then I got older. And then, oh, yeah.
I need something.
Yeah,
what was that?
And no, and theater was every night, every weekend. You can't have a personal life. It's really hard to have a personal life.
Yeah.
So it's okay when you're younger and you're traveling.
Sure.
But I got older and I thought, you know, when I was 49, I went, okay, I think it's really time to settle down. Maybe I won't have kids, but, you know.
Companionship is nice.
It's important.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always been on the quest for, balance, trying to find between the work and the balance of life and everything. So anyway, so I'm joking, but he's my baby. And, you know, but I mean, it's very much your partner and spending time with him. We love going to movies.
Since you don't have kids, you actually have a life. So that is nice.
Yes.
I have some grandchildren.
Talk to two guys who have no lives.
Well.
And kids. And but, nobody warned you, by the way, out there.
But I saw that. I saw that.
But
was
so
like,
you
no,
guys
no.
have.
You
when
saw
you guys
it.
Have
You're fr- smart. We weren't.
No. When you guys have free time, you can say, oh, we'd like to do this.
You know what?
We'd like to go here.
We do. We do. And we go, because I have a home still in Hungary, so we've gone back. He's an architect, so we fix it up.
Sure,
so if we have time, not working anywhere or something, then we'll go. And, you know, just spend time there. And you go to cafes, theaters, concerts. I love going to the theater.
Where in Hungary is it?
It's in Budapest.
I was
an exchange
student when I was in sixth grade, believe it or not. So I was at the American school.
Oh, wow. That's up in Buda.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I sold them cookies.
There.
You were probably there when I was selling the
cookies. He was eating cookies. That's weird. That's kind of
Maybe.
Making me.
Well,
that's
it was
weird.
It was probably in 1992.
I was there from 92 to 98.
Oh, my
gosh. The cookies were started in 95. So
okay. Also, no cookies for me.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, it was since I was in, it's not like I spent a whole year there. I was only in sixth grade. It was done through the Rotary International. And we'd get kids from there. And
that's kind of crazy you went that young.
Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah, it was pretty neat. And
it is cool.
And but you know,
did you like the food?
Yeah,
nobody. My husband hates it. Nobody likes the food. I love it. It's heavy,
if you like
greasy.
Paprika.
It's just bacon, paprika, and sour cream. And that's basically it.
Yeah,
that's it, huh?
Yeah, and then you throw in meat or other kind of meat or this meat, salt meat.
Is it because those are cheaper ingredients?
No, that's just a Hungarian. Someone came up with this, and that's
and they
stuck.
Just went with it. They're
they
like, hey, this is it.
But
we
you know
love
what?
Sour cream.
Sour cream, bacon, onions, and paprika.
Well, there's
it's heavenly.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
And, oh, come
it
on, and
pretty
sausage.
Good right now.
Kolbasa.
Bradford loves sausage.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
a girl can't say that, but anyway,
right?
Yeah.
Sure,
it's like, you can say that's okay.
Yeah, but all the students there were I didn't get to meet a lot of Hungarians because all the students at the
American
school were either
right.
Canadian
it's a really
or
good school. You must be smart. Are you smart?
Well, I just got picked because I wrote a nice essay or something.
Look at him. Look at him. Come on.
I had to be smart. I didn't get anything.
Put your glasses on.
Of course he's smart.
Show her how smart you are.
I am so impressed by you two, I have to tell you. I love both of you. I mean, I've just met you recently. Although,
isn't that funny? You just met me recently.
Oh,
we've
right,
been on the show for 2 years.
I know, 2 years. But I come and go.
Right, and when
he rarely came,
he was about to leave or had already left.
Yes, I was here in 2012 in July 31st.
Right,
and I left in September, like 5 weeks later.
Yeah, it's hard passed because I was gone. I came 2 days, goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't in the psych ward there in the Switzerland, I didn't see you.
You should have been in the psych ward.
I should be in there.
Where is your emotional life, sir? Let's at least go through some talk.
It's back. It's back now.
It's back with a vengeance.
It's back, yes.
Wow, where'd you get it from? Is there a store?
Manopause, that's what I always say.
Manopause, seriously.
Yes, they gave me something in the Russian clinic. You had to be involved in that somehow, right?
Probably. If it's something
but why'd you take Heinrich?
Because he's the son of
Faison.
Faison. He had it with Anna. And Anna is my
nemesis.
Yes.
The staunch enemy.
Got it.
So,
okay.
Who, you know, he was crazy about her whole life.
It bothered me.
Yes, me too.
That
it still does. And I'm not forgetting it.
No,
I'm not
hold
letting
on.
It go.
Because there's a few things from that, from when you put him in the cabin, right? It was Nina too. Nina?
Yes.
Michelle Stafford.
Crazy Nina.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So Peter's in the cabin.
Right.
We tied him up, yes.
We tied him up. You tied him up for a long time.
Him. Which one of you was Kathy Bates?
Unfortunately, it was me.
Okay, yeah. Kathleen Bates.
Kathleen Bates.
Kathleen Gotti Bates. So so you tied him up, and the thing that bugged me was the dude grew a beard faster than any human being ever.
That's funny.
His beard was like it was like he was stuck in there for 25 years.
Beard. How long was he evacuated?
For weeks.
Yeah, it was like 4 weeks.
Yeah, we shot that story for quite a while.
But no, but like in time on the canvas, was it 4 weeks that he was?
Oh, yeah.
Did you give him a catheter?
No, how did he go to the bathroom?
You know, people kept asking me that. How's he pee? It's like, I didn't feed him. Well, no,
dehydration.
He was dehydrated. No one pees
on the show anyway, because we can all walk around and go to the bathroom if we need to.
Because there was a fire in there too, right? So you were just dehydrating.
I caused a fire. I brought snakes. We had today, there were eight poisonous, seriously bad.
For real snakes?
For real.
They weren't like rubber snakes?
No.
No, don't you remember? That
rattlesnakes.
Did they have to crawl on
well, I'm not going to give away the secrets. Let the audience be creeped out.
Yeah.
But they had everything. They had rubber snakes. They had, but they had real snakes. I was out parking the car, and next to me is this big van, and they're opening the thing, and there's big buckets of stuff. Like, oh, what you got in there? Rattlesnakes. Eight rattlesnakes.
No, thank you.
Professional snakes. I'm like, they know what they're doing. Oh, no, we just picked them out of the woods today. I'm like, well, this big purple tail. I'm like, okay, great. No.
Wait a second. They weren't professional snakes? Can you train snakes?
They're not union snakes. I'm like, really? They're scabs. What the heck is this? I've been in the union for 30 years.
You don't have your SAG card, you snake.
Yeah, really, a snake.
Snake bastard.
Right.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. It's like, dirty what do you think snake. You're doing? But then they brought these up to the set. And Dee Dee, one of the directors, she's fabulous. And, she gets the snake scenes. And she's awesome. She's like, fine, we'll do snakes, whatever.
Yeah,
I love it. She's great. And so we had the snake scene, and I'm like, I can do this. I can do, like, balloons. Balloons, snakes, spiders, not my big thing. But, I'm an actress. So I'll do whatever you want. Right. You want me to jump off a building? Sure. That's another story. But anyway, so driving off a sand pit, almost died. So anyway, so I'm
we'll get back to that.
Yeah, really. That's so good. I'm like, so what, snakes really want to, you go up, you pick the snakes. Snake's going to be on the bed. Peter will be there. Wes, we'll get him off the bed. We'll just start the scene, then we'll move him. And then you pick up the snake and throw him out. I'm like, really?
They gave me a
poker with a fire poker. But I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's only a foot and a half away.
Hello. I've picked up snakes.
And they can strike. They can move.
This is the same thing with the fire scene. They cleared the set. Everybody and their mother
except
was
except for you.
This is clearly dangerous.
Just one or two of us,
go for
the
it.
Actors, maybe three if we're all in the same scene.
Right.
Yeah.
And the camera crew, bless their hearts, the directors, and just a few of us, and they clear the set. And it's like, really? Where's my insurance?
They clear the set for love scenes and snakes.
Oh, my God. So anyway, but gratefully, they gave me a rubber for that one scene, a rubber snake. Thank God. Everything's good.
We
got through it. And I watched from down here like, and it was fantastic. It was so well edited and put together. You could swear. People were like, did you use this real snake? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta let them think that. But the fire, they had emergency. This is what they had. The fire department, the emergency. They had what do you call those, vehicles to put people, dead bodies on or whatever,
The gurneys?
Gurneys?
Gurneys. Gurneys.
They had gurneys. They had the fire department. Us.
Yeah.
That was it.
I think like vehicles. And I was like, a hearse?
Oh, well, the hearse was outside. I'm sure the hearse.
Dead
people? The dead body. The meat wagon was outside. So I'm like, seriously, guys, I play along. I'm a good sport. I'm a team player. I'm a little scared.
Okay? Yeah, right.
So anyway, we got through it. It was all perfect. I mean, they did a great job.
Remember, that's the thing that Laura posts when Valentine and Finn saves Peter.
Yes, they have to go running
into the fire. They run in the fire, and then they run out, and they all fall down together on the grass.
That's
they,
right.
Did you see this?
It's like a triple
scene.
Spoon.
I did.
Where they just kind of just...
clasped together.
They just lay down on each other. I'm like, what happened in the cabin? What's going on
here? The cabin went up in smoke. Oh, and everyone's wearing masks. That's nothing. Gas masks and water masks. We're like, nope.
Oh, yeah.
We're the actors for you.
No, but
it was well done, and kudos to the crew and the fire department.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. I liked it.
But you're not a stranger to dangerous shots.
Danger.
So what happened? You almost drowned?
I'm in Egypt doing a film with a crazy Russian director. It's like Borders.
Was this in the Hungarian phase?
Nope. That's back in L.A. I get a job. This Russian director comes here. He talks to some people. He gets a crew. There's five actors. We're all Americans, Canadians, Americans, whatever, English speaking. We're going to go to Egypt to shoot a film about how crappy Americans are and how we go. You know, it's kind of like taking over the world. We want to show that, you know, they have to use their hands. You know, they have to use silverware, the children, and they have to eat properly, and they have to wear clothes, and they have to wear shoes, and, you know, and they have to do what we do. So I was one of the bad guys showing how, you know. So great, a film, go to Egypt, went to Russia, post-production, fabulous. Except we're in Egypt, and we're shooting in this El Fayum. It's a desert. It's been there like 40 million years ago. It was sea, and now it's all desert, sand. And it's like these coins that are like look like dimes the size of – and it's all fossils. And
oh, my gosh.
It's like a sea of this stuff. It's amazing.
Crazy.
Great. That's when my AT&T phone worked only there. But anyway, not in Beverly.
Not where you live now.
Yeah. No. But anyway – so we're doing this film, and I'm the driver and one of the asshole. Of course, I played an asshole in that, too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm in the car. I'm driving. One of the actors is next to me. The other actor's behind me. Back there in one of these big Jeeps, the director, the camera, a couple of crew. So there's like eight of us in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm driving on the sand, and the director in the back in Russian, go, 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 go. Okay, so I'm driving, and all of a sudden I see at the end nothing. It's like, you know, it's like these sand dunes. So, yeah, sand dunes go up and you go down, you go up and you down. But I don't see.
So you're going about to do like a Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah. But I've got eight people, crew, camera, lives, and equipment. Yeah. And the director's going, go, go, go. And me, I always do what the director says. That's my job. You do what the director says, except this time. And he said, go, go. I just slammed the brakes on. I mean, there was nothing.
Wow.
And I slammed the brakes on. And he starts screaming at me in Russian. Of course, I understand what he's saying. You son of a bitch. What do you think? You're a stupid actor. You're a stupid American. You know nothing. You're an idiot. Why did you stop? He comes out. He looks over the cliff. He goes, oh, okay. No problem. We go. Let's do this. Let's drive the other way. I mean, I could have killed everybody.
Wow.
And so when I've worked with some people, I recently did a little Christmas movie. I'm not name dropping. But anyway, just this thing and this actress is freezing in the water. And we're doing 1 hour. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and she's turning blue, and I'm going, you know, you really should say something. I felt for her, you know. And anyway, she didn't want to cause, and it was fine, it worked out. And then I told her the story. I said, you know, you have to suck up because she, you know,
yeah.
It's like don't complain about stuff unless it's life threatening or health, and then you're like, you know what? Now I've reached my order.
Yeah.
We'll stop here. Yeah. But that was pretty wild.
I mean, a lot of, because we hear about accidents all the time on movie sets.
And they happen.
And a lot could probably be avoided if everyone just took a little time or a little breath and was like, okay, are we okay? Are you okay?
Yeah. Right.
Because it's always go, go, go. We got to get the shot. And then someone gets hurt or dead.
Speaking of shot, I did something bad here once.
What'd you do?
Teo and I had to kill him. Teo Penglis. He played my boyfriend, lover, whatever.
Here
on GH?
Yes.
Oh,
he was here for a while.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he played
I did not know this.
And it was like he was the father of Ryan Paving, of my son Nathan. It was a whole storyline. And I had to kill him. And we're rehearsing. I believe in rehearsal. I rehearse my ass off.
How were you going to kill him?
With a gun.
Oh, okay.
And then the gun doesn't work enough. Then I suffocate him because he's not quite dead. And then the suffocate doesn't work up. And then he blows up the building. So it was this very interesting. There's a whole bunch of phases of how to kill him.
Sure.
The first one was with a gun. And I'm not very good with a gun. My husband taught me how to use it. Come in here because, you know, not much time. They showed me. Luckily, he showed me how. So I'm okay. So we're rehearsing. And I pull the thing. We're rehearsing. And I pointed at him. Luckily, I mean, it went bang. And Frank comes running over. Was that an accident? Or did you do it on purpose? And I went, well, I was practicing. It was like, I'm so sorry. I could have killed the guy. I mean, it was like, it's my fault.
If he was close enough range.
It was a blank, right?
Or was it a blank or was it a flash gun? I think it was just powder,
whatever they use.
We rarely use
pistol.
Blanks here.
No, I don't think so.
No more blanks.
No, there was nothing dangerous.
No more blanks. It's like a cap gun that does a little puff of smoke.
It's got like a firework at the end.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have killed him.
No, I remember.
No,
you
but I sure felt bad about it.
You would have burnt him or lit his cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one.
That's okay. Cigarette's okay. Burning him, not good.
No,
just suffer. If I hurt anyone, I can kill a spider and a bug like in seconds.
And
but
a snake and a balloon.
Yeah, really. Balloons. I'm massively talented.
Listen, anyone listening, please send red balloons to Kathleen Gotti, 4151 Prospect Avenue, Hollywood, California, 90027.
I quit. I don't want to be an activist anymore.
Oh,
I'm done.
That's awesome.
Well, you certainly get to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I've had fun. And you guys are great. I hope I get to have scenes.
I know. I'd love to have some scenes with Brad. Bradford's coming back. He's got some days coming.
I know. And I'm working those days, too. So hopefully we'll do something. I don't know.
There must be something very important happening if we're both working.
That's right.
Well, of
that's right.
Course.
So everyone just listen and stay tuned.
Come on, guys.
And you, I saw what you were doing today. I'm not saying nothing, but I saw.
Say anything.
Oh no, I would never. But wow, it's good to see.
I know. I mean, everybody.
I think some of it aired though, where I played Drew.
Everybody likes a man in uniform.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's so cool. I mean, what does that feel like when you're switching people? Now you're this. Now you're that person.
He's got one look.
I'm not that good of an actor.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Yeah. Dream on.
So, but we thank you so much for. Just doing this.
Thank you.
It's
for
such a treat.
Because thank you for sharing.
Well, we don't get to talk. I mean, we kind of, when you don't work together, you don't really, hey, how are you? And you don't get to talk to people. And it's so awesome that we're able to do this. And
this is great. Thank you.
And you should have your own podcast.
I know. You're good.
Honestly.
You're good at this.
You are.
Thank you for sharing. I just want to hear about other people, your lives, because everyone's life is a book. Everyone's life is a movie.
And yours is about to be a book, so that's exciting.
It's in work in progress for the last 100 years. So
hers is like a miniseries, like a trilogy.
International Women of Mystery. I like it.
Yeah.
I didn't know,
that's
but
a
I
good
like
one.
The title. Where's
that's
the
a
glamour?
Good title right there. And where's the glamour?
Yeah.
Copyright 2019 Kathleen Gotti.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, guys. You're awesome.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Awesome.
If you like our show, you're going to love Mama Said with Jamie Sigler and Jenna Paris on the new Lady Gain Network on Podcast One. Join actress Jamie Lynn Sigler and musician Jenna Paris as they use their experience in motherhood to help you confess your mommy sins, realize you're not alone, and feel like you're killing the mommy game. Download Mama Said every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.